You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound. If you're looking for a Browns pregame party, Dog Pound Drive is the official Cleveland Browns pregame party. It's back this year, kicking off 3 hours before every home game. Of course, you can get the next Dog Pound Drive on Monday, November the 30th, when the Browns take on the Baltimore Ravens. Presented by your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers for Monday Night Football, featuring DJ Stepfloss and live music from Sunrise Jones.
A day of preparation and like day drinking to get ready for that Monday Nighter. Come see me on Dog Pound Drive.
It's going to be live indeed. 216-578-0850. We'll go back to the phone lines right now, and let's get things going with your reaction. Baron in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Today, gentlemen, my reaction to Johnny Manziel is that's all systems go, and I think I would start naming, like, we need a primary running back. Give somebody the specific job that would help the entire team and get out of the 3-4. We need to go to the 4-3. We don't have Pro Bowl linebackers.
All right, first of all, appreciate the call. Johnny Manziel, I like the running back. I think they have committed to Crow and Duke, and they have their roles similar to what's going on in Cincinnati. Making a switch, just so people understand it, you can't just switch from a 3-4 to a 4-3 in season, can you? I mean, I know that it sounds easy to do, but it can you actually do that?
Yeah, sort of, I guess. And the reason why I can say that is because while our personnel may not match up perfectly for a 4-3 defense, every time we get into a nickel situation, meaning four down linemen, we bring in K'Wan Williams, and you have, what, Craig and Carlos or Christian and Carlos inside and the two safeties and two corners outside, that is a 4-3 defense. So what you would be doing then, you would take K'Wan then out of that situation as the nickel corner, and you would have Kirksey, Robertson, and Dansby as your three linebackers. Most likely, it'd be Kirksey in that walked situation over a number two receiver or a flexed tight end based on personnel. You absolutely could. I think, at this point in the season, you're not, if we're not changing anything from a personnel standpoint or minor tweaks that we don't see being changed from a schematic standpoint in the 3-4, we're not going to overhaul it in season.
Mike Penn said something that I found interesting yesterday, and I wanted to get your take on it, was that we're not a cover two team. We're not a cover two team. And I understand cover two to mean one thing in terms of where you play the zone, the middle linebacker's got the responsibility to run down the middle of the field, run, cover, patrol the seam, and you have two guys over the top. But you can be a 3-4, because a cover two team is typically a 4-3 team, right?
Yep.
Having two high safeties is not in any way related to the front or what kind of a defense you're playing,
it's,
right?
Well,
you can play 3-4 man under two deep.
Not essentially. And here's the reason why is because that's why you see corners in a 4-3 defense that plays cover two or Tampa two, like the Chicago Bears, for example. The corners have to be able to tackle because the corners are a part of the run fit. Because you have those deep half safeties, you no longer have the ability to have either of those two safeties essentially fit in the run game. So you have your four, you know, your three backers, there's your seven-man box, and then a corner in their drop when they open with their butt to the sideline, you know, and continue to shuffle to take away the flat or react to the flat and cover that seven route behind them. If that ball were to bounce, which in a cover two defense, that outside, that defensive end, wants that ball to bounce so that a linebacker can scrape over top from depth, because usually the middle linebacker aligns at about 5.5-6 yards in Tampa 2 because he's got to be ready to drop so deep and run through the middle, that corner reacts up and becomes the run support.
Okay.
So
you can't play, but you could play, let's say, for example, man under and two deep, right?
Yeah. Yeah, two man.
Two man. You can play cover six.
Yep. Quarters on one side, half on the other.
But you're still going to have the deep safeties.
Yes.
Right? So you've got a lot of...
And here's why he says what he said is...
Because he followed it up saying, if you play two safeties, it's going to hurt you in the run game.
Yeah. Because you're playing a seven-man box.
Right. But you can show an eight-man box and pre-snap get yourself into there.
The whole reason I believe he said what he said is because 75% of the defenses that they carry into a football game are associated with man or man press principles. And you have cover two in your repertoire, and most every 3-4 defense that I played, we'd get into red two, because you know you want your corner short, guys protecting the goal line, and you want your two safeties high for the seven route into the corners that you see a lot, or those big drag routes, you know, with the ball that goes right at the goalpost, top of the end zone, and you have your run through guy who's aligned at 6 yards, reacts to the run but protects the middle of the field, the middle pass. And so what he's saying is it's practiced so little throughout camp that to make that your mainstay at this point in the season, just like I said, going to 3-4 is very impossible.
So you have to decide, even if you are playing single high, he's going to shade. It's not typically a true center fielder, right?
It depends. It's game plan specific. If you have an A.J. Green, you're shading
to
A.J. Green.
Or Martavis Bryant last week,
yeah, yes. But you have to have, when you do that, you shade to Martavis Bryant because you're going to get run by. But what did Big Ben do? Throw it to Antonio Brown. You can't get run by on both sides. And that therein lies his other comment about when we're playing top man, that's when guys were getting beat off the line of scrimmage and the wide receiver was getting on top of us and we're in chase mode. Big Ben's going to throw that ball, that 50-50 ball. It's probably an 80-20 ball for Big Ben to get, well, essentially versus the Browns, either a penalty or a completion. So
unless the safety's there.
Unless the safety's there. But the biggest catalyst for why the deep ball was thrown so readily and the penalties were there as well is because we were in situations where we are in chase mode. We were supposed to play top man, which is man-to-man coverage press on top of the receiver, right? Which means he has to go through me to get the ball, unless it's a back shoulder throw, right?
Yep.
Especially down the field. Not going to be a back shoulder down the field. But we were beat off the line of scrimmage, or as Coach Pettine talked about it, opening the gate where a corner opens his hips when trying to jam, which gives a fairly free release to Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. Good luck to even Joe Hayden or Darrell Revis or Richard Sherman trying to chase those guys down.
Absolutely. And just interesting, and thank you for the football education. Let's go to Brian in Mansfield now. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just think that it's paramount that we see what Johnny Manziel can do for these remaining six games just to eliminate a problem that we have, you know, at quarterback, to see what we got, because we're so dysfunctional as a team. We've wasted the years of Joe Thomas, and now it's like Hayden's skills have diminished, so we have slid way back as an organization. And I just don't, no matter who is the next coach, whoever it is, Frank Stankovic or Tom Lipstanky, it's not going to be somebody well known, but we're...
Are they good coaches, Stankovic?
I don't think so, because we never heard of them. We never heard of them, but we got to see what Johnny Manziel can do and then decide, you know, what to do from there with our draft picks and not waste another draft pick like we did on Justin Gilbert.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Taylor in Sacramento.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Thanks good,
for
having me.
Doing good. So I'm in one of those camps that says Johnny needs to start. We needed to start him basically all season because otherwise we don't know what we have in him. So looking down the road, if he does go 3-3 or 2-4 come draft, what position do we take with it? Do we try to say, okay, he's not the future for us, let's go to another? Do we get a wide receiver, or do we try to fix this atrocious defense?
So I think that's an evaluation that you're going to be better off after, you know, these next six games with Johnny Manziel. But as I said, I think Johnny Manziel, knowing how critical quarterback is in the National Football League, you want to give Johnny every opportunity to erase doubt in your mind about him as your franchise quarterback and solidify himself in that role. Then you have an opportunity to address the defense with the Joey Bosa. You have an opportunity to add a wide receiver like Laquon Treadwell, a playmaker, etc. Now, if Johnny Manziel falters and it is clear, or there is any type of doubt in my mind about what you are doing at the quarterback position after this season, then what you have to do is go ahead and draft that quarterback early if you're in that position to do so. So I think the next 6 weeks, and that's what Matt was talking about in terms of the stakes, you know, for Johnny Manziel in this audition here, very, very high. And I think that this is an opportunity to really kind of find out where he is going to be and where this organization is going to be headed into the 2015 offseason and, of course, the 2016 draft. I think that that's really that's what is so critical about yes. this time.
Yeah, and I think that I mean, for us, we have to look at it game by game. And play situational football with Johnny Manziel, because I think if you know if the season ends and you look at, well, what did he, you know, what are his stats and what is his completion percentage and so on and so forth, and I think sometimes you have to break it down and compartmentalize, you know, how did Johnny react with the adversity that he faced, as you mentioned in the interview, early in that Pittsburgh game, reacted very well,
yeah,
you know, and came back and played, you know, great football throughout that and gave us, you know, what kept us in the game early, I will say. And I think that's the way you have to study Johnny Manziel on a game-by-game basis before you look at the conglomerate at the end of the season and go, oh, he threw for X amount of yards, this completion percentage, this many touchdowns, this many. It's easy to get into the stats that way, but you got to understand the NFL game each and every week and all the things that go into it and why so many football games are decided, you know, by 3 points or less.
And there's this year more games within a touchdown than ever before at this point in the season in the NFL. Let's go to James in Portland, Oregon. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. I say, with Johnny coming in, are we going to a full-on youth movement now? Is Ibrahim Campbell going to stay at safety? Are we going to play Justin? Is Cam Irving going to start over Greco now? What are we going to do with all the rest of the young guys now that we're moving to Johnny?
I am not sure if Mike Pettine was asked that question, which, James, I think is an excellent one. I hope the answer is yes, but I'm not sure he was asked that question. We will have his press conference from today to kick off our second hour, so maybe we'll get the answer to that. But I would think, you know, the way that he phrased it about Giants, not about the youth movement, Johnny has played well and has earned the opportunity to go ahead and show what he can do. I don't know if he feels that way about some of the other young players that you have mentioned, but an interesting question and one that I'm sure will be answered at some point. It will be asked and answered at some point as we get closer to the Browns playing again on Monday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. We're going to get your reaction as well. And think about these hot topics. What do you want to see from Johnny Manziel in the next six games that says to you, yes, he is the quarterback of the future, we don't need to draft one? What do you think? And if you were somebody who was on the fence about going to one of the remaining four home games, does Johnny Manziel starting change your mind? Is that something that now you do want to go ahead and see? All right, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.